And for my text today, we'll be reading from verse 12 down to verse 16, and the subject of this message is simply, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Luke 5 and verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself unto the wilderness and prayed. Lord, if thou wilt. Sounds simple, right? Simple and yet not easy. How many times do we say, Lord, if you will? And then we go about our way striving and trying to figure it out ourselves rather than bow. To submit everything to the will of the Lord and to wait upon him. To say, if he will, until then, or unless he will, we wait. In fact, that in of itself is impossible for any of us sitting in this room unless the Lord make us willing to wait upon him and be entirely submissive to him. Such is our sin nature. I read here about a man. It doesn't just say in verse 12, a man with leprosy. Notice the scripture says a man full of leprosy. I've seen leprosy. I've seen the fear on people's eyes in certain villages where even I remember one man coming to me specifically, you know, a black man, and he had a little white spot starting to appear here. And he asked me to look at it and see if I thought that might be leprosy, because it was prominent in that area. It struck fear, just a little spot. But here in verse 12, behold, and anytime you see behold in Scripture, it's to draw our attention. Behold, a man full of leprosy. I'm thankful the story doesn't end there, because leprosy in Scripture is a picture of sin. It describes what we are from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, full of iniquity. There's not anything good in us. But such is our nature that, and again, we get this from our father Adam. When he fell, what was the first thing he did? He and Eve, they tried to work it out. They went and grabbed some fig leaves. And we have that nature. So when we're cognizant even of our sin, what's the first thing we do? Run to try to figure it out. We go grab fig leaves. But until the Lord brings us to the end of ourselves, just like this man right here, full of leprosy, that would be what we would do. There were many other lepers, but this one came and besought the Lord, not with presumption. You notice, it says, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, not demanded of him. We live in a day where it's name it, claim it. That if you just name it, you just claim it, you can be delivered. That's not the attitude we see here. But even here, to say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, and then to wait. He didn't add any justification to it. He didn't say to him, here's the reason I think, Lord, that you ought to be willing. He just said, if thou wilt, you can make me be clean. But our nature is such that even with the foot of the victor on our neck, you know, the Lord brings sinners to bow either in judgment or grace. But even in grace, we wiggle. We squiggle. We don't like that foot on the neck. Bowed low. And even to the point, how many times, and let's be honest, because we're before the Lord here, we said, okay, Lord, that's enough. I've waited long enough. How long? How much more do I need to wait? Such is the rebellion of our hearts. That's that being full of leprosy. That if God left us to ourselves, we'd be even in our silence, our thoughts would still be thinking, okay, Lord, you need to remove this from me. So, as I've studied and prepared, the Lord has certainly even exercised my own heart, and I was telling somebody this week, those are the best messages. Where your own heart has been exercised by the Lord and you stand and declare just how it is He's been teaching you. And I would hope that would always be the case. That we never dictate terms to our Lord, but to wait upon Him. That's something that a rebellious heart or sinner left to himself won't do. People give an appearance of humility and wait for a while and then they scurry off. They find a preacher that gives them something to do, trying to make something happen. But wait on the Lord. And again, I say wait on the Lord. But here's some things that, as I studied and prepared, the Lord brought to my mind and I've written down here. The first thing is, if the Lord will, He shall. If the Lord wills it, He'll do it. You want to know what His will was? Look what He's done. There's no part of God's will, and I know you go back and read some of the old theological books and whatnot, they talk about God's permissive will and His decretive will, what He decrees, and they've got His will chopped up into all kinds of little things. He's got one will and purpose. And what He wills, He does. If He had willed to pass by this leper that came to Him, then He could have passed him by. I say that, but even behind what is not written here is this knowledge that if this leper came to Him and besought Him, it's because the Lord willed it all along. You stop and think about yourself. If you've come to Christ, you might be sitting there wondering, I wonder if He will save me. I'll tell you this, dear friends, the Lord doesn't play cat and mouse with sinners. If He drew you, it's with the purpose of saving you. All that the Father has given me, Christ said, what? Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those two go together. If you came to Him, God willed that you come to Him. If you besought Him, God willed that you beseech Him. That gives me some comfort. I can't tell whether my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never seen it. But I know how the Lord has drawn this poor sinner's heart and caused me, even as it says here in verse 12, who seen Jesus, fell on His face. The Jesus. There's some that have seen a Jesus, but not the Jesus. There was only one here. There were many by that name, but it was to this one that this one was brought in his time of need. And caused him to cry unto Him. And that's why you read in verse 13, He put forth His hand and touched him. it wasn't conditioned on the leper coming, but on the Savior drawing. And in drawing, because he willed, then he did. If he willed, he shall. The second thing I see here is that if the Lord will, he will come to you. You know, there, I think of what we just read in Luke 4, there were many lepers in Israel, and to none of them did God send a prophet. Except for to Naaman the Syrian, who was completely outside of Israel. That's what was declared in chapter 4. Well, here we actually have God's prophet, because that's who the Son is. He's God's Word. You think about a prophet. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I know it says here that, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face. It doesn't say who coming to Jesus fell on his face, but who seeing Jesus. He could never have seen Jesus had not the Lord Jesus come to him. And I love the way it's written there in verse, the first part of verse 12. It came to pass, all that comes to pass is according to God's will. But notice, when he was in a certain city, I don't take that word certain to mean just a happenstance city. It's just like with the woman of Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. It was purpose that he meet with that woman at the well. It was purpose that he, the Lord Jesus, should come to this certain city, and I read that in the sense of certainty. Couldn't have been any other city, couldn't have been any other time. Had to be this time, this place, and this leper. The Lord purposed to cross his path. And so it was. So, if the Lord will, he will come to those that the Father has given him. He will, in time, cross their path. Our Lord said that even before he went to the cross. If you look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. He said in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That word means to come alongside, to help. The word another means one like Christ. And certainly that's what the Spirit is. He is God, so is Christ. "That ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." That's quite a statement there. If God were just simply to wait upon the world to receive him, none would receive the Spirit. They don't discern the things of God, being in debt. "Because it seeth him not, nor knoweth him." So I apply this even to this leper. He did not know ahead of time that Christ would pass that way. In his misery, for all he knew, this was how he would spend out his days and be condemned to die. Isolated from people, alone, full of leprosy. But it says here, "Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." This leper, when the Lord was pleased to touch him, had nothing for which he could glory. He was brought to see that it was all the Lord himself. And it's all wrapped up in that word "seen." The world seeth not. But he's seen Jesus. Not just in a physical sense, but spiritually. And what does the Lord say? "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I'll tell you, that's precious. Those words are precious to any that know themselves to be as this leper. If there had been any requirement for him getting to Christ, he couldn't have done it. But it was Christ coming to him. And so, if the Lord will, he will come to you. And you notice here, back in Luke 5 again, I can't reiterate this enough, who it is that he came to. He passed by the Pharisees. He passed by the scribes of the day, the self-righteous. He himself said that. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord many times went out of his way to offend the righteous. If he knew in their thinking that these self-righteous wouldn't have anything to do with publicans and sinners, he sat down and ate with them. You know, they said of him, if he were a prophet and knew what sort of woman this was, but he purposed to draw an adulterous woman to wipe his feet with her hair. Such is the Christ of Scripture. He came to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. And so when he comes to sinners. We see how our Lord willingly draws the worst of the worst to himself and causes them to seek him out. Now that shouldn't be a shock to you or me if the Lord has drawn us. We should, by his grace, be able to say, Ken, you don't need to say anymore. I'm that leper. I know that's what it took the Lord to show me, because I lived in blindness for years, thinking myself to be progressively sinning less and less, but it's because I never had really seen my sinfulness. And when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, that all went away. To see yourself as you are. You know, it's the Lord who sends and the Lord who draws. In John chapter 6, if you look there in several verses. Verse 37, I quoted a little earlier, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How do I know that this leper was one of the Lord's? Well, he came to Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Why would he? He was the one drawing him. You see? And the same thing reiterated in verse 44 of John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. If he will, he shall. You ever sit and wonder about the resurrection? I was driving down the road thinking about that the other day. This body, you think about everybody that's died from the beginning to time. And yet, those are the Lord's. He will raise again in the last day. In fact, he raised them spiritually when Christ rose from the grave. They're seated with him in the heavenlies, is what the scriptures say. So we wait. That's what it is, to wait on the Lord. I don't have to explain the resurrection to anybody. I just know that if the Lord bought me, when this body, I don't care what they do with it, put it in the ground or burn it. If it's blown up in an airplane explosion and the molecules and everything disappear, I just know what the scriptures say. In the last day, he'll raise it again. That's his power to do so. Because salvation's of him. It's not of me anyway. It never was. But you see there in verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You want to divide the sheep from the goats? Read verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. See, it offends man's sense of his own pride and free will. There were many others, lepers, that didn't come. Well, because Christ didn't come to them. You know, that's a judgment when he's pleased to leave sinners to themselves. But when he's willing, he will come to them. and he will draw them. And that's what I see here in Luke 5 and verse 12. He draws them in humility. Yes, the command is to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Bob read it in James 4. Submit yourselves unto God. But those who do humble themselves, it was because it was Christ drawing them all along. He brings us and causes us to bow at his feet. This leper here in Luke 5:12, he was being humbled long before he saw the Lord. I don't know if you know anything about the progression of leprosy, but I've seen cases of leprosy, and it's the most humiliating disease a person could ever have. It just eats away at your extremities little by little. Your nose, your ears, the extremities, your fingers, hands, feet, toes, just slowly eats away. Putrid. It's got a horrible smell. And anybody with leprosy is isolated. They're out there. They don't eat with you. You're completely isolated. This, when it says here, full of leprosy, yet looking at it, it was the Lord all along bringing him low. So that at this point, in this time, he's seeing Jesus, what does it say there, fell on his face. I've mentioned it before, but that is the place. If you want to know if the Lord has drawn you, where do we find us? Flat on our face before him. Go through the scriptures and look at that in different instances. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. This was the demoniac that the Lord crossed the sea to deliver. Just one. There were others there, and yet this one, he crossed that sea. And when everybody ran to see what had taken place, of course, they were more concerned about the swine that the Lord had caused the evil spirits to go into and drown than they were this one that the Lord had delivered. But it says in verse 15 of Mark 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, what? Sitting. That's a position of humility. Sitting. Clothed. It must be that Christ gave him his garment, which is a picture of our righteousness. It's Christ. Otherwise we'd be naked. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. But when it says here in Luke 5:12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, that's what I always listen for. That's what I always look for. I know that's what how the Lord dealt my heart. When people talk about their profession, is there a glorying in themselves? Is there a whoop-de-doo sort of experience that they talk about? Or is it one of, I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You can go through and look at other examples. Look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Here was Mary and Martha. And at this particular time, it's not to say that Martha was lost. She was the Lord's. We know that. Scripture said that the Lord loved her. But here was an example of what was vital, what was important. In Luke 10, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. And look at this. Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You say, why wasn't Martha there with her? Well, at this particular moment in time, and all of us have to say we've been Martha's as much as Mary's, but if not more so, it said Martha was cumbered about. That's what happens when the Lord, even for a moment, leaves us to ourselves. We'll be cumbered about. The parable of the sower and the seed, you know, I believe it describes every aspect of our heart at one point and another. When the birds come and take away the seed, It could be the most wonderful message that the Lord brought home to our heart, but as soon as we walk out that door, little birds come and take it away. Something happens, and then you try to bring it back, and you can't. Such would be our case. But it says here, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, and here I see terms of endearment. The Lord never has a harsh word to say about any of his own. He had plenty to say about the self-righteous, but he, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's to be at his feet, hearing of him. I think also of John in Revelation chapter 1. Look in Revelation 1 and verse 17. This is where you find those that the Lord draws, to whom he comes. And it's not just a matter of coming one time. We need him every moment, every day. Here in Revelation 1 and verse 17, this is John. This is the Beloved. This is the one who laid his head on our Lord's breast while he was yet on earth, and now ascended into glory, has a vision, a view of him. And what does it say in John, Revelation 1:17? When I saw him, it's like the leper, he, seeing Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, just like that leper. In Luke 5, it says the Lord touched him, reached out and touched him. Here, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. It's all through his death, crucifixion. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen. So we see that if the Lord will, he will come to his own. Now, true, the instruction, if you look over in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, here's our leprosy described and defined in verse 6, from the soul of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That describes who we are before God. And yes, the Scripture does say, as we see in verse 16, wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. See, those are all commands of Scripture, and yet they are impossible commands for any of us. See, that you say, well, why does the Lord command it then? Just to show how fallen we are. That it takes the Lord himself. And so we see that. This leper, and I've seen lepers, I've seen how they try to keep the sores clean and do everything they can and bind them, but it's just an open sore that continues to eat away. That was the case of this man until the Lord came to him. And in coming, he came because the Lord drew him. And that's our testimony. Such would be our case. I remember as the Lord first began to work in my heart, and I saw those portions of Scripture that said, come to him, to believe on him, to repent. I languished, knowing and realizing I couldn't. In fact, I weighed where I was at that point to everything I thought I had done up to that point, and I was hopeless, helpless. And the Lord left me there. for a while, for a season, to where I couldn't sleep at night, laid awake, and I knew that unless he gave me a cry, I couldn't even cry unto him. So desperate is our state. But I'll tell you, those are precious words. If the Lord will, he will come to you. That's what he does. But thirdly, I would say this, coming back here to Luke chapter 5. And this is precious. If the Lord will, dear friends, there is no case too difficult for him. But I can't make you see him. I've told you the story before about the years I preached over here at what used to be called Landmark Nursing Home. Some of you remember Odell. I call her our thrifty nickel lady because for years I've had every other week an article in the thrifty nickel. In fact, I put one back up on the bulletin board so that, you know, if the Lord impresses your mind to pray, that goes out every 2 weeks. That's been going on now for nearly 18 years. And there's been a few families come and attend here and hear the gospel as a result. But I remember the first time she called me up and she said, I read your article. Now it's called American Classified. But I read your article in the Thrifty Nickel. And I want to know one thing. And I said, what's that? She said, I want to know if you believe what you write. And I said, well, that's why I put it in there. And she said, well, I want to come hear you. So I started giving her directions. And that time we were still meeting up at Centenary College. And she stopped me and said, I'm in a nursing home. I need somebody to pick me up. And I remember starting to pick her up. And I remember, Miss Peggy, you went by and got her, different ones. You know, she wanted to be there. But it was the Lord that drew her. And through her, opened up the door for me to go to the Landmark at the time. Remember, we even had a special meetings over there one time because of the number of people. And she couldn't get out, and we wanted to make sure she could hear. But the point is, there was a lady that back when she was a young lady had an abortion. And all these years it had been affecting her mind that she was a murderer. And I couldn't make her hear. I couldn't make her see to look to Christ. She would literally cry out and interrupt me when I would talk about the Lord's forgiveness and say, not me, not me. And as far as I know, that's how she died. We cannot make people see. No matter how clear the Lord has made it to us, all I can say is if you have seen, just like it says here in Luke 5, who's seen Jesus, that's because he gave you eyes to see. And dear friends, there is no case too difficult for one of the Lord's. And the reason I know that is because he saved a wretch like me. And that's why Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world not to save the best of sinners. That's how men look at it. Well, there's the best and there's the worst. No, the worst, in God's eyes, we're all condemned. But God. But God. And that's what drew this man. He said, Lord, thou canst make me clean. What he was declaring was the singular, solitary person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In essence, saying, if you don't save me, there is no hope. And that's true of our children. That's true of any acquaintances for whom we're burdened. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. But there's the key, if thou wilt. If thou wilt. That's why back here in Isaiah, I meant to tell you to keep your finger there, but look what's on the heels of verses 16 and 17, what I consider impossible commands. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Just try that. That's God's law. He can't alter His standard in any way to save a sinner. It still is cease to do evil. You say, well, there's no hope then. That's right. In ourselves, there's not. But what does Isaiah 1:18 say? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If the Lord will, He shall. You see that? Though your sins be as scarlet, they not might be, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the Lord's will is His shall. You say, how is that even possible? Well, this was forward-looking to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. So complete was that work of Christ on the cross that there's not a sin, not even a stain that we find remaining. That if the Lord has paid your sin debt or paid mine, then it's all been put away. And we stand justified before God. Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. This is the Lord's work to do. See, I was under the delusion that sanctification was my work. Because the Scripture said, sanctify yourselves. Or sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And so you read that from a blind, natural mind perspective, and you think, okay, it's something I got to do. But to sanctify the Lord God in your heart isn't something you do. It's a state of being. It's hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. My sanctification before a holy God is written right here in Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. The church. See in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and what? That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Think about this leper back here in Luke 5 when it says that Christ put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And I love how the Scripture said, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It had progressively advanced, but when it came to the Lord delivering him, it was immediate. I dare say that our sin was immediately put away when Christ paid the debt. When He cried, it is finished, it's finished. This is not some progressive work where I'm slowly getting more and more ready for heaven. Now, if Christ, you say, well, where did Christ touch my sin? Well, on the cross. It was laid on Him. And so complete was that work that, even as we read here in Ephesians 5:27, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You try to work that out yourself, you'll go to hell doing it. But Christ, that's what it took. This leper being brought to Him. And this deliverance that we see here was just a foretaste of what He came to do for sinners by His work there on the cross. There's a lot more here in Luke 5, but let me just summarize the rest of this for us, coming back to Luke 5. If the Lord will, He will draw out of the needy sinner that cry for mercy. When it says He fell on His face and besought Him, that was the Lord drawing that out of him. And I'm thankful when He does cause a sinner to cry unto Him for mercy. And then, fifthly, if the Lord will, He will bring us to bow to Him and rest in whatever His will is and wait for His deliverance. I don't know how long. In verse 13, it just says, "And he put forth his hand and touched him." I don't know how long the transition. It doesn't matter. The Lord drew him in purpose that he heal him. But I think about that Canaanite woman over in Matthew chapter 15. If you look there, Matthew chapter 15. See, this is where we wait. Here was one the Lord was drawing all along as well. And again, he went to her before she came to him. See, if he will, he comes to the sinner. Because verse 21 of Matthew 15 says, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And there's the same word. And behold. Behold a leper. Behold a woman. Canaan. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Look at verse 23. Here's the part about waiting on the Lord. If he will, he shall, but it's going to be in his time and his way. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But what does verse 25 say? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. It's just like the leper. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, help me. To whom shall I go? And Christ said to his disciples, Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? See, this, the grace of God brings us to wait. And he answered and said, verse 26, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. See, that's an amazing thing. He commends her faith, but he was her faith. He's the one that gave it to her. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. How could he say that but that he willed? He willed. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. It's not so much a language here in Luke 5 of hesitancy, but of faith, of looking to Christ and waiting and trusting Him. And when He makes us willing, we do come. And He will in no wise cast us out. Well, I'm going to stop there. I do want to pick up with verse 14 next time because it looks a little surprising, doesn't it? Here's a great instance of the Lord healing a leper, drawing him to himself, and then he says, Tell no man. That just goes against what religion says. Like, man, you got a testimony, hit the road. Tell no man. Go and show thyself to the priest. There's a lot there that I don't want to rush through, so Lord willing, we'll look at that next time.